Rocky Horror Minute is rated R. The Rocky Horror Picture Show is also rated R. We're going to spend this time discussing the movie in gory detail, and along the road we will talk about some adult content and use some of our favorite swear words.
We both laugh at our son's big balls.
Consider yourselves warned. Welcome to Rocky Horror Minute, the podcast where we break down the Rocky Horror Picture Show in excruciating detail, 1 minute at a time. I'm one of your hosts, Leandra.
And I'm your other host, Kelly.
And today we've got a great minute. What happens?
Okay, so this is minute 76 of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. When we last left Riff and Magenta, they were walking hand in hand across the lab. They continue walking at the beginning of this minute over to Dr. Scott. Magenta lifts her right arm to go over Dr. Scott so that she can face Riff. Then they have kind of a slow elbow sex to a, I'm guessing a xylophone, going boom, 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 boom. And then he takes her hand again and they walk off in the other direction. You see them go out via the ramp. And then we get, what would we call that wipe, Leandra? It's like a clock.
Yeah. I guess that's an accurate statement.
Well, we get a wipe to reveal Krim, and he is, throughout this scene, he's doing a strange thing with his hands where he's like, he's got his hands clasped together and he's like squeezing them. And he does this throughout the rest of the scene. So the dialogue he gives while staring down the barrel of the camera and squeezing his hands together is, "So, by some extraordinary coincidence, fate, it seemed, had decided that Brad and Janet should keep that appointment they had with their friend, Dr. Everett Scott. But it seemed that appointment was to be in a situation which none of them could have possibly foreseen. And just a few hours after announcing their engagement, Brad and Janet had both tasted forbidden fruit. This in itself was proof that their host was a man of little morals and some persuasion. What further indignities were the..." And that's the end of the minute.
This is definitely a minute.
Yeah, it happened. It's a grim minute. So I guess they walked back out through the hole, huh?
I mean, that's the direction that they were going,
I guess? The layout of the castle is not clear, nor is it really clear what happens to Riff and Magenta between now and, spoiler alert, when they reappear. Like, we don't really know where they go.
I would assume to a dressing room.
Well, yeah.
Dressing room and armory. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if there's, like, a spaceship-style, like, control room or something.
I want to thank you for bringing up bum, 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 because I love that. It is wonderful to me.
It's great, yeah. It's a fun little way that the score talks to us in that moment.
I love the melodramatic music just in general leading out of this scene and into the Krim office. It's very reminiscent of the fucking with the monster scene from earlier when Riff Raff is going over to a sleeping Rocky to taunt him with the candelabra. And yeah. And it's a very good little homage to the melodramatic films that I think in part it's riffing on.
Definitely agree with that.
Although, one thing that I noticed about this scene that I thought was, interesting. No plinth for Dr. Scott. Yeah, I got nothing about that other than, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he doesn't need one.
Do any of the others need them?
I mean, Because obviously, I mean, I guess there isn't really an in-universe explanation for the plinths, but the obvious reason is that they needed more of a base to be able to stand up, but Dr. Scott has a, you know, more solid base.
He's got two wheels.
Right. So.
Okay. I guess that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, the whole reason they have the plinths is so that they don't tip over, right? And I don't think that wheelchair shape was in... I mean, it has four wheels, doesn't it?
I guess that the wheels and that are connected to the footrests count.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, yeah, I mean, wheelchairs don't really tip over. But, I mean, like I said, I don't think we're really even supposed to see the plinths. Richard O'Brien made it very clear how he feels about them.
Yeah, I didn't notice them at all or care about them mm-hmm. at all. And now I still don't care about them, but
yeah,
am noticing them.
Yeah, it is funny how that works.
So I did notice some fun little details about Riff's costume. And his costume really doesn't change throughout the movie, unless arguably the hump leaves at some point. But there's a random black tatter or string dangling off of Riff's tailcoat, kind of at the waist, maybe as part of one of the tails. Kind of hard to tell. And this is also just an amazing scene for seeing Riff's shoes and the lacing on the pants and the one white spat. And it was in this scene that I kind of realized that his heels are almost as tall as Magenta's, which I think is great.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah, I'm so used to seeing Magenta heels that are like 6 inches, and they're really not. They're like,
no, they're not.
They're pretty low, all things considered.
Yeah, no, they're not very high. Now, they are like spikes. That's the thing that I struggle with them.
Yeah.
But they're not super high. And I guess I think part of the problem is that it's hard to find that style of boot with a lower heel.
That's fair.
I think that typically when people do make those these days, they're kind of fuck me boots.
So I have two pairs of Magenta boots that I like for different reasons. One of them is, of course, the Betsy Johnson boot from, like, I don't know, 2010, something like that. And I like those because they have a lot of the right details for it to be screen accurate, but they're just way too tall and also incredibly expensive. Yeah. So they're not super worth it for a shadow caster who's going to treat all of their shit like trash, which I'm not saying that I do, but I don't want to have $100+ shoes that I have to put into a bag at the end of the night and then feel bad if the suede gets buffed or scratched. What is the word that I'm looking for? Scuffed?
I would say scuffed.
The other shoe that I've been going to more recently they're kind of these costumey, like, witchy granny boots. I think that I even got them at a costume store. They're like by Funtasma or one of those. And it's not that they're inherently screen accurate. They lace up, which isn't ideal, but they do have kind of the right shape. And it has a heel, maybe not a spiky heel, but it's roughly the right height, and certainly the comfort level that I have for heels at this point in my life. So I feel like there are plenty of Magentas out there that just go, I'm going to wear combat boots and honestly, I used to care a lot more about that than I do now. I think that it's fine if that's the if that is the boot that you need in order to emote your best, then go for it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about your shoes in a Rocky Shadow cast, well, it depends on the layout of your theater. In the movie theater where we perform, which is just a movie theater with like a typical setup, the audience can't really see your feet. So it's not really worth, like, you know, it's not. Shoes are really kind of like the last priority. They're certainly below like being able to move around effectively and like walk normally and like pay attention to what's going on because you're not like in horrible pain or whatever. Some Rocky casts are lucky enough to perform somewhere with like a raised stage, but if that's not the case, I don't know. I think it's great if you can have screen accurate shoes, but I don't think it should come at the expense of almost anything else.
Wear shoes that are the best of your ability and don't beat yourself up too much if your ability isn't as screen accurate as maybe somebody else's. Do your best. That's all we ask here at Rocky Horror Minute.
It's not just about heels. Cheap, shitty shoes can be really hard on your feet. You know what I mean? Like, for magenta, it doesn't matter, but like, let's say, like, there are shoes that I have worn for Rocky, which are flats, but holy shit, they fucked me. They crippled me.
Yeah,
Truly.
Rocky shoes, almost all of the Rocky shoes I've ever worn are the most uncomfortable that I've ever worn. And
Yeah.
not all of them have heels. Some of them do, some of them don't. Some of them are like just gold shoes that are fun.
Well, those gold like dance booties, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Those are pretty screen accurate, but oh my fucking God, they hurt. Like I cannot even because the sole is like a piece of cardboard.
Whereas I think that the Rocky boots that I gave you as a hand-me-down are maybe not uncomfortable, but I wouldn't wear them for fun.
Yeah, but I snapped the heel off of them the first time I was wearing them, so.
Oh, I think I forgot about that.
I mean, I don't know how you could have. I cried about it quite a bit that night, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do still have them, but
Just
I did,
take them
yeah,
to a
I
cobbler.
broke the heel. Take them to a cobbler?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, or throw them out, either or.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Crim's office. I feel like we've discussed this before, but did we ever land on what those slides are that he's looking at?
Not that I recall.
I feel like we've at least discussed them. I'd like to think that it's DNA evidence from the house.
Oh, interesting.
Like, just random swabs of things and fingerprints. I have no reason to think that this is actually the case. There's nothing that corroborates this. I just think that that's a fun thought.
Yeah. It's as likely as anything else.
And today, as I was just refreshing myself on this minute, I was looking to see where he was in the Crim book, and it doesn't look like he's even looking at the book. It looks like the book of evidence that he's been referencing is actually on the Sam Eagle stand to his right, and it almost looks like he is looking at a script. Whatever he's looking at is stapled together in the corner, and it's too thin to be the book, and I don't see that it's attached to anything. So I think it would be very funny if this is just like a whoopsie and he's reviewing his lines between scenes.
That is fun.
And I don't think I've given him enough credit in the past for how aggressively he's making eye contact the entire time. Just through all of his scenes, he'll like turn away and then look directly at the camera. I don't know if you've tried to do that before, but that is very difficult.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's very he's at his Bond villainiest in this minute.
He really is. And it's some good stuff. So before we go into callbacks, first off, do you have anything else?
No.
Okay, well this is a crim minute. So do we know that we've made any mistakes recently?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that we covered all of our built-up mistakes in a recent crim minute.
Do you want to tell people about what we've been up to?
What have we been up to?
We went to AwesomeCon last week.
Oh yeah.
I don't know why I did a sexy little baby.
Yeah. We went to AwesomeCon again last weekend. We did a presentation on cult movies. It was really fun. Thanks to everybody who came out.
Yeah, I had a great time. We took a lot of pictures. Kelly and I dressed like whores. Kelly was Janet and I was Brad, but we were in underwear and we definitely got attention from people. So that was not pleasant for me, but
Oh, yeah, right. She was loving it. We both were. It was fun.
I guess that's fair. It was at least par for the course for Kelly.
Yeah.
Kelly is very used to people looking her up and down like a piece of meat, and I'm one of them.
Yeah. No, it was, I was pretty, we were barely there. Like, we were, it was kind of a whirlwind AwesomeCon appearance, but I was very, very happy with how many people showed up to the panel and participated enthusiastically. So, thank you guys if you're listening.
Yeah, if we have any new listeners from that, I know that a couple of people particularly seemed like they were excited to check us out. So if you are one of them, hello, welcome.
Hello.
Other than that, what's coming up at the end of the month?
We're doing Phantom of the Paradise at our theater. And of course, that won't mean anything to you unless you're listening to this episode when it's brand new. But if you are, please come check us out. March 29th and 30th, 2024.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Phantom of the Paradise is a different cult classic film, one that Kelly and I love very dearly. And I think that if you like Rocky, you're pretty likely to enjoy Phantom of the Paradise. Would you say that's accurate? I think so.
Yeah,
Okay.
that seems to be the case.
We also have a website. And that's pretty new, so I definitely wanted to throw out there that Brad, the webmaster, rose from the grave to finish our website and then died again, which of course means that I won't be creating the 1990s, early 2000s MIDI-filled Comic Sans nightmare fest that I was alluding to.
Unless.
Unless. But enough about us. Kelly, what callbacks do you have for this minute?
There's like only a couple that I actually like enough to say right now. One is when they go and do the elbow sex over Dr. Scott, the classic is why are the handicapped always getting fucked over? And then the response to that is like, well, they get the best parking spaces or something like that. And then when he's doing the hand squeezing, it looks very similar to the way that you can like, I mean, I can't do it, but the way that some people can make fart sounds with their hands. So sometimes somebody will like be blowing loud raspberries every time he does it, and if you have the energy to keep that up for the whole scene, it is very funny and the audience invariably loves it. I think it's funnier than anything else I've heard people do for the hand thing, so why not try it? But that's all I got.
I have some more. I'd say that a lot of the ones that I know are stupid. So if you like stupid callbacks, then this is the minute for you. The first one, we're still in the lab scene, and you hear Jeepers, creepers, where's Magenta's peepers? Jeepers, creepers, where the fuck are your eyes? Squish, there's one, squish, there's another one. Squish, I don't know what that was. The Jeepers Creepers song that they're referring to is the song Jeepers Creepers from 1938 from the film Going Places. It also became a jazz standard. So this is in reference to the fact that Magenta is kind of looking down, so you don't see her eyes at all. So it kind of looks like she doesn't have eyes in this. I don't know. It's fun. I like the song. There are, like you kind of alluded to, a lot of other ableist callbacks that you can throw out there about Dr. Scott, and any of them are as funny as others, I'd say.
Is it ableist to say why are the handicapped always getting fucked over?
That one, no.
Okay. I didn't think so.
Yeah, I had to think about it, but not that one inherently, but like, fuck you, they always get the best parking spots, or any of the other ones that I don't want to share because they're like offensive, or
That's fair. I don't even know those, so that's a good sign, I guess.
I don't like them enough to share them at our show, but if you go to
Yeah.
another show, or if you're from another cast, you probably have heard them. There's another one that only makes sense if you're not watching the Blu-ray. You might see it on the DVD, I don't quite remember, but it is on the 35mm, and it's a little defect on the film itself where there is a mark that appears on the statue, like on the film, but it looks like it's on the statue of Janet, and you sing, "There's a little black spot on her arm today," which is a reference to the song by The Police, King of Pain, from 1983. And it's fun. I haven't heard that one in a while. I don't know if it's because I just haven't been saying it, or if our cut of the film just doesn't have that defect anymore. It made me kind of sad if that's why I haven't been hearing it though.
I would like to also offer that I don't think people know that song anymore.
That is fair. I will throw out there that I had to look it up today because I've heard some sort of off-key rendition of that, and the line that it's riffing off of is "There's a little black spot on the sun today." So.
Yeah, I've never heard the callback. I've never heard the Police song. So I don't know.
Okay. Well, it was something that was important
It's
to,
fun.
yeah.
Yeah, I love referencing like a defect in the film. I've never noticed the moment you're talking about, so I don't know if we have it or not. I've never looked, of course.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And then this is a crim callback that you can say at the beginning of a fair number of his scenes, because he often starts with "and so" or something like that, and it's Betsy Ross used to masturbate and masturbate and masturbate and
And so.
so, which I find fucking hilarious, and you can say that every single time he says that, and it's never going to stop being funny to me.
That is funny.
And then there's the usual fate it seemed that Brad and Janet would keep that appointment, whatever the line is. You go, "unlike the appointment you had with your neck." And then foreseen or foreskinned. And when right before the criminologist says forbidden fruit, you say Frank's come, and then Krim says forbidden fruit, and you say same thing. And when he says that Frank is a man of little morals, you go, yay, little morals. And then,
yeah, that I have heard.
Of some persuasion, the gay persuasion.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah. So there are some. I think that the masturbate and so is the one that I like the most. But that's not really part of this minute all on its lonesome. But that's all I got.
Well, I think that that was... Yeah.
That was some good stuff.
Yeah.
Now,
that was all gold.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. So get the fuck out.
To the late night double feature picture.